So for those of you who don't know, I preach sitting down right now because my knees are so bad. So just don't be surprised by that. One of the things that happens in this particular scripture reading is that it starts with the word then. Then Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. So it makes a person wonder, well, what happened before then? There's got to be something that happened before then that was really important, or they wouldn't say then Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee. Well, what happens right before this is, number one, Jesus is baptized in the power of the Spirit. Yes, the heaven is opened. We talked about this last week. Open, shut, done. Not done, but begun, right? We had this last week. So, he is baptized. What happens then? We didn't talk about this. It's not part of our readings this year. Jesus is taken into the wilderness where he is tempted by Satan, by the accuser. And he's out there, and the accuser says, oh, you could do this, and you could do this, and you could do this. Just ally yourself with me. Ally yourself with the powers of this world. And Jesus says, no. No. God's Spirit is more powerful than that. Then Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout all the surrounding region. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. What a great way to start a sermon! Praised by everyone. He is given praise. He makes a proclamation throughout this. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then at the very end, they want to push him off a cliff. That's a really good sermon for you. If you start out with people going, ooh, I want to hear this person, and you make a proclamation, and by the end of it, they want to push you off a cliff, you might have hit a few nerves. That's what happens to Jesus. So he's in his hometown. All right, so Stratford is not my hometown. Buffalo, Minnesota is my hometown. If I were to go back there and preach, they would expect me to say all kinds of nice things. And I would. I had a great childhood there. Would they end up wanting to push me off a cliff after I preached? No. A couple of weeks ago, I preached at my home congregation in La Crosse at Trinity Lutheran on the north side. I started off, they were praising me. Oh, Amy, we're so glad to have you back. And I did say lots of nice things about them, and then I kind of tweaked them a little bit by saying, don't just sit in this 150th anniversary of yours for the next year and congratulate yourselves. You got to think about what's next for you. What is the challenge God has for you next? Don't just dwell in the past. But they still didn't want to push me off a cliff. So why, with Jesus coming straight from baptism and testing in the wilderness, why does he end up having people want to push him off a cliff in his hometown? How does this come about? I'll tell you. Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah, also quoted in our psalm for today. Psalm 146 says the same thing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And the eyes of all were fixed upon him. And he says, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, it's time to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. It's time to preach justice, to the release of the captives, the recovery of sight. Well, that isn't what gets these people going. Not at all. It's not that he's claiming to be the fulfillment of Scripture, because all speak well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. Oh, Jesus, you're doing such a good job for a hometown boy, Mary's son. Oh, that's, we're so proud of you. This is what they're thinking. This is what they're saying. And he says, yeah, right. I have more to say about this. And he gives them a vision of what God is about. He says, God is not just for the people in the pews here, the people who came out in the cold, cold, bitter weather, the people who are here because we have this wonderful baptism, the people who are here every single flipping week, and the people who are joining us for just one time or occasionally. God's kingdom, God's rule, God's vision is not just for us. Here's how he does it. He says, the truth is, there were many widows in Israel. There were many widows who believed in God, who followed all the rules, who did the right things in Israel. Lots of Jewish widows in the time of Elijah. The heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months because there was no rain. That's what he's saying. There was no rain for 3 years and 6 months. And there was a severe famine. People are going hungry. But Elijah, the prophet Elijah, isn't sent to them. He's sent to someone who doesn't worship in the right way. He's sent to a widow from somewhere else. And she has only enough to make a little cake for herself and her child, and then they're going to die. I don't know if you remember the story. And he says, let me have some too. And she generously shares the last of what they have, and for some reason, those jars of oil and of meal never run out, and they're saved. But she doesn't belong to the people in the pews at all. And then he says, yeah, there's another one I got for you. There were also many with a skin disease in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Also someone who doesn't belong. Also someone who's not worshiping the same God, who is not doing the right things, who is not following the rules, who is not the example of being in the pews. The prophet is sent to Naaman the Syrian. And he's healed. This is what gets them going. When they heard this, they were filled with rage. They weren't just angry or upset or a little bit, oh, that's kind of uncomfortable. They were filled with rage. They were so angry that they grabbed him and they take him to the edge of the town where there's a cliff, and they're going to throw him off. So he starts with praise, and he makes a proclamation, and then he's going to get pushed off the cliff. He has riled some feathers. This is what baptism does. I'm so sorry to tell you that, Waylon. Yesterday I preached at Diane Ruther's funeral. Huge Elvis fan. And I said that in her baptism, God started Diane's fan club. God was the first person to join. God has a fan club for each one of you in baptism. And Waylon gets his very own fan club today. But the fan club is not just to be adored. God's fan clubs are to be challenged. Baptism challenges us to proclaim things that might get us pushed off a cliff. I want to take just a couple of moments to read to you the promises that parents make. And it says we make promises that we're going to live with, Waylon, among God's faithful people. Bring him to the Word of God and the Holy Supper. You're going to hear this in a little bit. Teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. Place in his hands the Holy Scriptures and nurture him in faith and prayer so that there is something else that comes after that, which is really important. This is the reason we do it. So that Waylon may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, which can get a little iffy if you're talking about or to the wrong kinds of people, so that he can care for others in the world God made, and he can work for justice and peace. Not just justice and peace for us, but justice and peace for everyone, including creation. That is the challenge before him. But God says, Waylon, I'm your biggest fan, and I'm not going to let you do that alone. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he was accompanied. He had God with him to help him with his role, with the challenge, with the danger. Waylon's going to have that too. Waylon has a lifetime ahead of him. Some of us have a lifetime behind us, and God has been with us. Waylon, the power of the Spirit is upon you today. It is exciting. It is praiseworthy. It is admired. It is to be desired, and it can be dangerous. That's what baptism is. That's what Jesus' baptism brought him to. And that is the Spirit of the Lord upon us.